But it does take, before the police is notified, it can be 10 to 15 minutes. By then, they could have swept the whole house, right? Because they're looking for something valuable. They're not going to go looking to read your tax documents. You know, they're going to go in there and grab what they can and get out of there. So I want to bring up a few things. At the safety meeting, I want to have a big group here so that we can push this information out, because together, everyone can kind of look after each other. Like the council member said, we want to be good neighbors. You know, if you see something next door, you know, make sure it's better to have to be a witness, right? Because you know who you're looking for. And I can explain also the priority of calls with the police. If we see someone, it's good to get descriptions so that we have something to give the police, because at any given point from the Beltway and 59 up until the Bel Air area by Hillcroft and Chimney Rock, south of 59, on one shift, we may only have 10 officers on one shift. And that goes all the way down to Highway 90. So if we think about it,
And whose problem is that? And I know it's the city's problem, but that turns out to be our problem.
Hold on. So I know that's mentioned that some people get discouraged to call. Some people get discouraged to call the police. Oh, nothing's gonna be done. This, you know, I get it. Because you know that's something that I've thought about before. But if we're not reporting calls, we're also telling the city there's no need for officers in this area. When cadets are coming out of the academy and we're looking to fill stations with patrol officers, there's the need, if we're saying that there's no need here because we're not overloaded with calls, then they don't push more officers out here. Everything kind of goes by stats.
The other paper I gave you, there was 10 shootings in the last 14 months just in my area. Mm-hmm. It occurs the last shooting in my area. Now, this is only as good as the weakest link, and the weakest link is one, we can't get into contact with you guys because if the ring's busy, you stay on hold for 30 minutes.
With the 911?
I'm talking about just a non-emergency number, because this is after the fact. You hear
right.
the shots, you call
yeah,
it.
Okay.
We don't know where it's at, so we do our best to call it in. I've always told people who live in the neighborhood, call, but we can't get through.
That's something that we could probably bring up to the HEC Center, because I've never...
So we've been discussing that at City Hall. They have currently put out incentive pay for new hires for the call center.
Oh yeah.
Because they're overloaded with calls. When the crime increases, especially the non-emergency, it is taking too long for them to respond. And our office gets a lot of those emails and complaints about, hey, we're calling, you all tell us to call, but then when we do call, we can't get through, right? And then so we push that over to the administration and say, hey, we're telling people to call, but they're not able to get through. And then the call center is saying, we're overloaded. And so now we have to do one or two things, or probably both. The city is already coming up with incentive pay to try to get more call takers. But we also need to start being able to utilize technology more. We need to be able to have apps and ways in which people can get a response. So you can put in your issue and not have to wait forever, but it still gets routed. And if it's a non-emergency, it's not like they have to come immediately, but at least it's logged so you can get to it.
Exactly.
So those are things that myself and other council members are trying to push. Of course, it's not going to solve your problem overnight, and so I can't sit here and just act like it will. But that's kind of the concept behind the District J Patrol and what we came up with that program. And that's where you would go online, districtjpatrol.com. It's for non-emergencies. It's for neighborhood-related crimes and violations. You would go to Braeburn Glen is your neighborhood, and you would put in your submission. And over time, we've been learning how to be more efficient with that. We have a task team of individuals from each neighborhood that are our eyes and ears to help us with that system. David here has volunteered to be on that board for you all's area. But that's another way in which if you have a non-emergency for HPD, you go to districtjpatrol.com or you call our office and we'll help you with it. And you can put in your submission. It allows you to upload photos. And the cool thing about it is there's a results tab on the website. And so HPD has to go in there and put a response to your issue. And the way that they get paid is through our overtime dollars from our office, your tax dollars. But they only get the overtime pay if they actually go out and do the work. So it's like you eat what you kill. And we try to use that as an incentive for them for overtime pay because they don't have to do it. But it's a way in which we can get additional presence and patrol on non-emergencies to focus on the lower level quality of life crimes and violations. And these are the parking on the lawn, the junk motor vehicles, the panhandling. Yeah, homeless under the bridge, all of those type of things, because they're spread so thin that they're going to prioritize the rapes, the assaults, the murders before the guy under the bridge. Okay? But we still want to focus on the guy under the bridge. So the District J Patrol is designated or designed just for that. But the only way that they will address the issue is you have to go and submit it. Same thing with the app. So it's kind of like the beginning phases of that. If you go on there to districtjpatrol.com and put your submission, they will respond. Okay?
So what about like gunshots? Mm-hmm. Okay, I call them in one night. Does that show up on any stats that like you get?
Yes.
Because they're not on there.
So I was going to say,
when I call, it's like they have a list of questions they ask you. They really don't care what you have to say. And even though you told them something, they still ask you these questions that make no sense to what you reported.
What are they asking you?
What is the address? Well, I already told you, I don't know. I heard 15 shots at this time. I'm located here. I can't tell you where they were. I mean, last night, I had this going on. There goes 7 shots off right now. I didn't hear
anything. So when you call, the call doesn't just go away. Every call gets logged and it stays on the system until an officer responds. So they will come by. You will at some point still get an officer to drive in. Right.
But if it's not showing up on the stats, that they get
the area.
The
two that
are
the
stats.
Is that what it's called?
No, I think we get different stats. We can pull. So we have a different way of pulling them. We can see calls that you just make.
Okay.
So let's just say there was no report made. We can still see it. Even if you just call to report gunfire, we still
see
it. We see that.
They see all those calls.
Yeah.
If y'all are using some type of neighborhood app type thing, that could be completely different than what they utilize.
And and even when I create, because I'm at the storefront, and we take the reports there. Walk-ins. If I mistakenly made a typed in for a report at an address, and I made it, it was by error. And I said, oh, you know what? This doesn't need a report. That even shows up. So. Even errors can come up. So discharge firearm does come up.
Yeah. You said earlier that your VCOP patrol is based on reporting, correct?
Yes.
Now, I showed you detention, drive-by shootings are not even showing drive-by shootings, they're showing vandalism and destruction. So, how can we get priority on these VCOP coming through our area if you guys aren't reporting correctly? It should be reported as drive-by shootings.
And I'm not familiar with this.
This is your report from the website.
From where?
From your HPD website.
Okay, yeah, I don't. I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with the report. I see it differently.
This is the report. I would go to the HPD website, pull up the crime for our
beat. This is what I would do, David, on that. So she's offered, in which I think we should take her up on the offer, is to come and do a comprehensive meeting on the inner workings of HPD for this area, as well as some of the dynamics that you all get. But the way I think it will be effective is to be able to tell her what you all want her to present. So if it's issues with those type of reports or something else, then she can design her talking points around specifically around that.
I think it's not for her to address, it's the city to address, because this is what the city is putting to the top. To me, I believe they're wired out reports so they can show gun violence low because you're not reporting it correctly.
But what I'm saying is, and I hear what you're saying, if you, If that is your issue based on what you see.
No, I want one BCOP report. I want more BCOP in our area based on the urgency of the crime. But you guys aren't reporting for it.
So, yeah. So what I'm suggesting, David, is for you to make that an issue, that you believe that the reports are not accurate. So then we can verify, are they accurate or not, and be able to give you feedback, and then be able to have a discussion around what the solutions would be. But right now, since we're just getting that information today, we can't verify any of that. And so,
I said this to your office.
I haven't seen it. Yeah, and she hasn't seen it. So let us look into that. I can tell you, unfortunately, I have this meeting in every single neighborhood in this area. And that's the sad part about kind of where we are, because everyone's saying that we have an influx of calls and crime. Why don't we have more presence? And me as your council member, I'm trying to figure out a creative solution around that. When I know we can't just add more officers overnight, how can we maybe utilize your ideas or technology or something to decrease those numbers? And what I wanted to hear from you all today, because I've been getting many of you all's emails, I was actually expecting more people here, is your ideas, right? Because I work for you. So I came up with, thank you, Officer Yala. I came up with ShotSpotter as a way to try to help with the identification, right? We know that we put out the flock cameras, right? Those are looking at the surveillance of the cars that are being called in for different crimes. We have the District J Patrol that you all are going to utilize for neighborhood-related crimes. But what else should we be looking at? Are there particular... Yes, ma'am.
Well, I have a question. After the traffic fire, okay, this happened twice.
Okay.
In front of my house recently. Very loud. I call, and I report it, and I gave my name and my address, because it happened right in front of my house. So then what do I do?
So
when nobody shows up, and I understand it's just shots fired and happening all over the city, but then what do I do? Just go to the back bedroom of my house, or, you know, and this is not happening in the middle of the night. Things have happened both times.
This is one of the things that we've been seeing people in the neighborhood to do is if you or some of your neighbors have like a Ring doorbell, you can start asking them if they have any footage around that time that maybe showed a car that went by. I think you, David, or somebody showed us a vehicle that went by. And so what we've been trying to do is if someone does have a Ring doorbell to have some type of footage, since it was close to your home, then those flock cameras, we can say, okay, around 3 p.m. during the day, someone caught a car speeding through that was like a white pickup truck heading south on Brazewood.
I know, but who do I do about my state?
Yeah,
but my neighbor is from Chicago, and she heard all of this as well, and she says, well, you know what we do in Chicago? She said, you don't go outside and you stay away from the windows.
Yeah.
Okay, I have grandchildren at my house.
Yeah, we don't want you to do that. But the only way that you're going to feel safe is if you stop seeing those occurrences. And what we're saying is, right now, reporting it so we can try to have more presence and to find ways to deter it is our only option. Because if you don't call, then definitely nothing's going to happen. And if you do call, at least it gives us an opportunity to look into the matter. But I'm not going to be able to sit here and give you a magic wand and BS you on that I can give you an easy solution to stop all the gunfire overnight. It goes beyond just HPD that are doing the best that they can. But our bail system, our court system, it's just so much that goes into why there are so many criminals repeatedly committing crimes on our streets.
But I do want to schedule a public meeting, a safety meeting here. We can get a flyer, you know, for subdivision to push out a flyer, a date, gives people enough time, you know, we can have a dialogue.
time to call. Stay right there, Louis.
Well, I understand. I mean, unfortunately, we don't have an officer in the area of the street. We don't.
And I understand.
That's fine.
I understand.
That's the case. We just don't have that capacity, mm-hmm. right? But, so we, what we do want to do is make sure that this isn't a neighborhood that they're coming in when we do that, right? We do want to make sure.
No, I'm good. I'm good, man.
We want to have a police presence here, right? But we do need to call these things in. So let's talk about it. Let's have a meeting.
But tell me this.
Yeah.
Because we rescheduled this meeting. We had a meeting scheduled first, and there were some electrical problems. We had to reschedule it for now. I get you all's emails. I am concerned about what is in the area. I have to lean on you all for ideas. Okay? So do you all have anything, or specifically that you all have been discussing amongst yourselves by saying, why can't they do this, or why aren't they doing that, that can be put on my radar so that I can try to find a way to work with you to do it?
Correct reporting so we can get accurate.
Okay.
So we can get controls better.
Okay.
And now it's not showing up.
Okay. Yes, sir.
One of my pet peeves has been fireworks that go off around Christmas.
Yeah.
And it starts like the day before Christmas and goes on every day past New Year's, I guess, until people run out of fireworks. And what really bothers me is that the city or the county lets the fireworks companies sell these fireworks.
That's
the
worst
I'm here. Yeah. And I know
we're so. That stands out in 2 weeks. I said, it's going to open. It's going to open. It's going to open.
So,
they got moved down the street.
Yeah, but they did have citations. The DRC unit did issue citations to some of those little stands that came around. We brought the fire.
So the issue is the city does not allow the fire stands to be there. So we would have to get out and ticket them. However, the county does. So what people are really doing, I know, sounds crazy. We really need you all to advocate to your county commissioners that we don't want fireworks sold in Harris County. Because the closer proximity and the more convenient they have to get the fireworks, they're going to do it. So if they just have to go into the county to get it and come back home, they're going to do it. But if they had to go all the way to Brazoria County or something, then maybe they wouldn't. I get frustrated like you do with the fireworks. I actually...
This was the worst year.
Yeah, I actually rode with HPD. I left my family on, New Year's Eve. And we went to all these hot spots. I was in the patrol car. They didn't give me a vest or a gun, but we're in the patrol car. And we're going to all these hot spots. And we were ticketing folks. But as we were there, all around us were fireworks. So it was almost defeating for me, or I had a defeated mood, because it just showed the lack of care of so many people in the community. And many of the issues that we're facing regarding breaking into your house, stealing little kids' toys, or these fireworks, it is just, for whatever reason, it's a lack of respect and regard for other neighbors and people. And that goes beyond just what your tax dollars can alleviate. It's becoming just a lack of respect for people and property. And that's something that is going to be difficult to solve all the time. But we are trying. I was out there for 2 hours going from place to place. And as I'm with the officer and they're ticketing people, it's a barrage around us. And when we go to the next spot, it's a barrage around us. Or people call in and say, I hear fireworks. Where? Well, I'm at this address. It's everywhere. It's all over. But that doesn't mean that we're going to stop it. My idea, and this is what I told the mayor, you have to start making examples out of people, right? And if you can go arrest people. You may not get everybody. Just get a handful of people.
Yeah.
Get them on the news. Yeah. Let them know that they got to spend the night in jail. Yeah, they may bond out the next day. But if they know that there's a possibility of people getting arrested, right? Then maybe they'll start changing their behavior. But I think what we do too much is we don't have as much enforcement as I would like, and these citations only go but so far, right? People build that into their business model. So we have to really start finding ways to arrest people, getting their mug shots up on billboards. That's what I want to see for the Johns on Bissonnette. Yes. Let their families know, let their employers know. But there's also a large contingent of people who think that's going too far, right? So, but that those are the things I'm advocating for. Yes, sir.
My name is Steve Mayer. I'm a visitor here. Regarding the fireworks stands and the fireworks, have y'all looked into trying to seize the actual fireworks as contraband? Getting somebody to maybe write a search warrant. Actually, you don't need a search warrant for contraband, but that might be an option, because if it's illegal to possess the fireworks in the city, then that's contraband.
And that's something that we have to talk to the specialized division about, because we do just, I mean, once we find that out, that was just because we were driving through, install the scans. I mean, that's not the one that you guys see, right? But we do shut them down completely with the fire marshal. But as far as seizing it,
if they know you're going to take their merchandise,
I'll be completely honest with you. Our property group is overloaded. There's stuff that they don't want us to bring in. Just because we don't have the capacity to store it. So just, I'm sorry? Yeah, so that's just a completely raw truth about our property room. It's really overcrowded, and they told us there's certain people that we don't take in anymore.
And the issue with that is they're required to when they do seize property, even from homeless individuals, they're required to like tag it and bag it a certain way. These people are never coming to get that stuff. But they still have to preserve it and it's sitting in there for an extended period of time. And the city really needs to do a better job, I think, on what you all are required to do with the property and how long it has to be there. Because it's kind of absurd the amount of time it takes and the diligence with some of this property. But again, you have another group that says, well, that's personal property and you have to treat it like everything else. But it does cause dilemmas when how much they can store and how overcrowded they are. I'm going to take a couple more questions.
That citation, I'm sorry, that anything to do with the fire code violation are the most expensive things.
Yeah. Two more questions.
I don't mean to shoot the messenger, no pun intended, you were off earlier. But it seems like during the night that the shootings, the crime, the fireworks, the prostitution, it seems like they have more rights than we do right now.
Well,
that's what I'm hearing. Because I know you guys are hands tied because of staffing issues, funding issues.
No, it's not that. It's that you have more crime, you're having more crime than capacity or resources can always alleviate. When you talk about fireworks, you all are seeing the entire city lit up, right? So you're either going to make an example out of some folks, which is what I would like to see, or they're just going to say, hey, we're not going to take our officers off the street for fireworks for a few hours. There's all these other crimes and issues going on. You're going to have to suffer through it for a day. And that is the brunt reality of what's going on. Now, there's always need for improvement. But a lot of that improvement actually is going to come from you all. And so like your suggestion with the stats, we need to look into. When it comes to some of the issues with the burglaries or needing more lighting or pointing out a specific area like that bridge, that's what we need to hear so we can say, okay, we have some specifics and some homework assignments to go do. Because what I don't like is just to have meetings to talk about having more meetings and then have another talk, but give us some action items. So what I'm hearing right now, aside from what I just proposed to you all with the shot spotter and the District J patrol and the flock cameras, is we have a location we need to look into that's under the bridge. We'll make sure we get that. Specific lighting in that area we need to look into. I do think that the speed bumps are going to help with some of the people who come in the area and think they can just speed out, but we want to hear more. Right, because when you all are emailing me, you're telling me the issue, but I need you also to work with me to tell me ideas on what you think we need to do, because it's your tax dollars. at the end of the day. And we need to understand the best ways to spend it. Yes, ma'am.
So with cleaning up the neighborhood, like, I mean, the neighborhood is littered with garbage. The city lots are always overgrown and trash being thrown there. Does that enhance crime in an area? I don't know.
It may. So you all have what's called now in District J, we brought, it's called a hot tin. All right. And it may not be for like little pieces of litter that are thrown away, but I'm talking about illegal dumping.
All right. We also have people in the neighborhood in general.
So
the trash, I mean, they don't pick up the garbage in the front yard when the trash can come through. I mean, I go out there anytime I see trash.
But I
want,
put it in.
I
do
want to get out of the car and throw the garbage. I'm wondering if we clean up with that.
Well, one thing I know it would do is it would cause people to have take more pride in their area. The area overall will look better, and I think people will pay more attention to keeping it that way. But when some of your neighbors are bad actors in this throwing things, it brings the whole neighborhood down,
yeah.
Right?
Well,
yeah. So, but that's kind of a neighborhood issue. I'm not going to jump into that. But I do want you all to know that when it comes to illegal dumping, we have a hot team crew, which is a crew of gentlemen that have a pickup truck and a trailer, and they supplement the solid waste department. And every third Thursday of the month, your neighborhood is the designated area where they come and pick up illegal dumping. They do it based on your 311 calls. You'll call in the 311 and say, hey, there's a mattress or shopping carts or tires somewhere. And every third Thursday, they're here. However, we want you to call in every single time you see it, because let's say that they're in Braeburn Valley or in Bonham Acres and it's a slow day over there, they will still come over here and address the issue. That's just your specific day, but they're working all month long. So that's for illegal dumping. And then our other big initiative for 2023 is employment opportunities. A lot of this crime and a lot of these issues we have, honestly, it's because people don't have a good quality of life. They don't have paying jobs. And so we want to try to help them with that. So if you or someone you know is in need of a job, you want to go to districtjjobs.com. We've been promoting that with billboards all over the city. It's a one-stop place for all types of employment opportunities, from entry level to postgraduate degrees, hundreds of jobs all over the city. It's also tabs on there for resources, for resume building, for interview techniques. So if you or a family member is in need of a job, that is a resource we want you all to take care of. We're the only office in the city that has something like that as well. But ultimately, we want you all to know that we hear you. I get your emails. I get your calls. Some of the things that you all propose are getting done. These speed bumps are happening. That drive along is making a difference. You all's call about the flood mitigation project, things are working. The park is improving. Now we need to continue to do more. All right. Bissonnette is getting those improvements, but now we need to really focus on a more holistic approach to the prostitution, bringing more light. And we're going to be working on that with you all. I want you all to stay engaged with my office. I hear from some of you all the time and some of you not at all. But whenever you reach out, we take that as something serious. My office really makes it a priority to give you a prompt response. It may not always be the response you want, but we're going to respond. And we want to hear your ideas on projects. When it came to these speed bumps, it's because you all reached out and wanted to do it. All throughout the year, we'll reach out to your civic club or HOA and say, are there specific projects you want to see? Street improvements, ADA ramps, speed bumps, sidewalks, whatever. We take those and we prioritize them based on the funding that we have, right? What we can say is, every time you call us for a project, we might not be able to get it done. But if you never call us about the project, it for sure will never get done. So you want to continue to give us those ideas for your projects, all right? So those are some of the highlights that you can expect for your area coming forward. And we'll have to continue to work on some of the issues that you all brought up today. I'm going to go back to my office and tell them about that, the area that she's concerning about. And we're going to check on those stats for you as well. And then I will be back. Okay? So thank you all very much.
You know, actually, a lot of you that are here were not here last week. And a lot of people that were here last week are not here this week. Next time we invite him, we'll just have one meeting. But you know, I want to bring up something. On the street cushions, I really wanted to get all the streets done, especially Jason and Imogene, because there's evidence from Chicago that speed cushions help prevent drive-by shootings and violent crime, besides speeding. So those are really important. You know, what I was told was that it was illegal at this time to do those two streets, that we would have to wait until 2026. Maybe the council member could push it a little bit harder and it can be done, you know. The offer for us to pay for them is still there because it will make our neighborhood safer. So.
I'll look into it. I'll look into it.
Okay. When you said the county, what do they do for us? You know, it's amazing. We don't have constable patrols. But that's not true in every constable precinct. Mikey, in precinct 6, they do patrols in the neighborhoods, and they don't have to pay. Now, some of the richer neighborhoods do pay, but there are constables that patrol the neighborhoods. We can't, for some reason, we don't get that. But they could do it.
So, have you all ever considered reaching out to your constable office to have them come be a speaker at the meeting, and then you kind of ask them, you know, how can we get more patrol to this area? I do know a lot of the constables, they do work off a contract with the different neighborhoods, but that's not the only thing they do. You all still pay taxes to the county for their services as well. But if you're not seeing a constable presence that you think is adequate, let's call them. The same way you all called me here and called HPD, let's call the constables here who are elected as well, right? And say we would like to have more presence. What can be done? I think you'll get at least put them on notice of what you want, and then you can go from there. So let's try that.
I can do that. You know, the other thing is flooding. That's probably the major problem, not just for our neighborhood. Monomakers, Robindale, Rayburn, Terrence, Myerland. We need, Keegan's is going to help when it gets done. They're building a major retention pond also at 610. That's going to help. But we really need something bigger near us. We have Westwood Golf Course that, you know, would be great for something like that.
Well, we have the Turris Point Detention, as you said, Club Creek Park. That's a $13 million project. That's gonna, I think, bring some value. And of course, like I said, next year you all are getting your own specific flood mitigation project, $6 million project, specifically just for this neighborhood.
Will that be like
paving
sewers or something?
That's gonna be going to be infrastructure in front of every single street.
Storm sewers, right?
Yeah, to expand the path.
What about the people calling the landfill that's going on there?
Okay, good question. Okay, so Rufino Hills, which was an old landfill for Bel Air Westview, it is like the Beltway and West Belfort area, 150 acres, and it's just a large green space that's not being utilized anymore because it was a previous landfill. Half of the area was owned by Bel Air, and half was owned by WestU, because that was their landfill. Okay. Over the last several years, there's been discussion on how can we utilize this green space to turn it into a huge